Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding, to look ahead to an 8-race card at the Curragh on Sunday. We saw some fantastic action at the Curragh on Saturday. Sunday's card is a pretty strong one as well. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex. How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, in good nick.
Good to hear. Obviously, Australia won the Irish Derby yesterday. Didn't really break a sweat in doing so. Didn't really learn anything yesterday, did we, about the horse, but it's another title to add to his name, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes next, won't it?
It will, yeah. I'd imagine they'll be looking for a mile and a quarter race with him now. We know he's good over a mile, as he proved in the Guineas, even better over a mile and a half, obviously with the Irish and English equivalents safely tucked away in the bag. But now let's see what he can do, perhaps against the older horses later on in the season. Irish Champion Stakes immediately springs to mind. Home soil, Leopardstown, track of course he won there as a two-year-old and beating the Dermot Weld horse, which name escapes me, we haven't seen so far this season. Free Eagle, that's the one. Oh, God, come there. Amazing. It's amazing what's the back of your brain sometimes, isn't it? If you just give it a nudge. He's just a wonderful racehorse and he's living up to the hype.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of Sunday's action, we've got a really good card, actually. Competitive action, nice horses turn out, a good mix of group races and competitive handicaps, isn't it?
As ever, yeah. Mm. Really good stuff. A few that I think are slightly overpriced, more than overpriced, actually, and a few that I think are worth taking on at short prices. So hopefully we can have a productive afternoon.
Okay then, well, we'll kick things off with the 2:15. It is a maiden for Colts and Geldings over 7 furlongs, and the only horse in the field with experience is Aidan O'Brien's Glen Eagles. Joseph O'Brien takes the ride. Solid enough run on debut. We'll be entitled to come on for that. That's basically, if replicating, that's going to go very, very close here. And has the plum draw?
Well, you say has a plum draw, but I'm not absolutely totally convinced that stall 11 is going to be the plum draw. If it was on the straight track, then I'd say yes. But on the round track, the 7 furlongs and the mile are actually on the far side of the course on the horseshoe as they turn into the straight. So technically, low numbers might have an advantage. Only high numbers on the straight track have a 5 and 6, which have hold sway. But either way, he's got the experience to overcome any kind of draw he's given, really. I just wasn't overly convinced with his first display at Leopardstown. I'm still not convinced about that form, you know, even though Stobart Companion Tuscanelli won the other night in pretty decisive fashion in a weak race. I've just got such a slow time for that convergence race at Leopardstown. I just don't trust the form, and any horses that showed sort of one-pace tendencies in behind, I think, well, you know, they can't be that good. Obviously, he's got the experience. That's going to stand him in good stead. But it wouldn't surprise me if he got turned over here. And I think he's a really poor price. I think he's one of these favourites that deserves to be taken on. What with, obviously, is the $64,000 question. Be interesting to see if there's any money for anything this morning. There's been a little bit of slight activity for Wardle, caught by Rick Van Winkle, trained by Davey Watchman, from a yard going really well. Obviously, we've got to keep our eye on anything that Dermot Wells training at the moment. He's got a caught by Harlan's Holiday. Postulation. That's drawn one. That could be a very favourable draw. And of course, Jim Bolger's hit the ground running at the Curragh 3-day meeting with 4 winners already, and he's got a colt by Intense Focus called Sun Focus. So plenty of competition waiting in the wings to tipple the crown of Glen Eagles. All I'd say is that I'd just be very, very wary about taking a short price about that favourite. I think he could be vulnerable.
Okay, then, fair enough. Next up is the 245. It is the Grangecon. Ooh, easy for me to say. The Grangecon Stud Stakes over 6 furlongs. Money this morning for Back to Base, who's unbeaten for the Watchman Yard, owned by JP McManus, of course. But plenty of these arrive here off the back of a win. If not a win, then a very good run. And it's quite a nice race, this.
I think so, yeah. This is one of the races where I think the favourite's the wrong price and the wrong favourite. I take on board that he looked quite impressive first time out, so she did, Back to Base down in Limerick. Wasn't exactly expected that all the money was for She's Complete, who'd run well in a very good race at the Curragh on debut and was back from 2-1. I managed to get a bit of 2-1. I remember this race quite vividly. Because she went off 1-2. It's one of those smug feelings you have, or you think you've got a really massive advantage over the bookmakers. You get 2-1 about a 1-2 shot, and it somehow still manages to get back. I just think Back to Base is a really weak favourite here. The speed for that race at Limerick was good, and she did it well. But she's drawn in stall 2, which is a massive negative, and she's dropping back down in trip, which is also a concern. How this horse is 2-1, God only knows. I'd be a bit back, sort of like 3-4-1 chance on my book. The two with best form, the best form, and they should be ahead of it in the betting, are Stormfly and Jeannie Girl. Jeannie Girl's win came here at the Curragh over 6 furlongs on soft ground that I actually thought probably might not have suited her on that occasion. She went off 12-1, largely due to that fact, I think. But she still managed to get the job done well, beating a good field, beat Sexy Legs, who was well back to course to win the Albany at Royal Ascot and finished mid-div. But if you needed any nudge how good that form is, Anthem Alexandra finished 6th. And, of course, we know what she's gone on to do subsequently. Winner at Royal Ascot, the Queen Mary, and bolted up at Tipperary in the next start. So I actually think Jeannie Girl's got the best form. She's beaten the best horses, and yet she's available to back at 6-1. Reasonable draw as well, 7, certainly better than Back to Base. And a course and distance win. I don't know how this horse can be 6-1. I'm actually convincing myself here that it's a massive bet. And Stormfly as well. She did a good number down in Navan on the 12th of April, then was given a bit of a break, brought back for a listed race at Nason. I just thought Pat Smullen rode probably one of the worst races he's ridden all season on this filly by Dark Angel. He got her out the back far too far behind. They quickened going down to the furlong pole and slowly run race, and she ended up finishing off very strong. I don't think I'll make the same mistake again, and I think she should be favourite, and she's probably worth a little saver. So Stormfly, Jeannie Girl, the two horses with best form. I'd expect one of those to win. At the prices, Jeannie Girl each way has to be the bet at 6s.
Okay. Next up is the 3:15. It's the Curragh Cup, a Group 3 contest over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. Lovely race, this. Pale Mimosa Heads Affairs has been supported this morning. And she has the profile of one that you'd expect could be up to land in a race like this.
Yeah, interesting little race, this. I think this race is another contest prime for a bit of value and a bit of each-way thievery, because I do think the bookmakers have gone really top-heavy and mad about Pale Mimosa and Ernest Hemingway. I could argue with their cases in many respects, but I don't think they've got such a gulf in class that they should be as short as they are. You know, let's face it, Pale Mimosa's only ever won a listed race up to now and has been found out in Group 3 company respectively on her last two starts. Obviously, she finished behind Leading Light last time out in the Savile Beg, and everyone's looking at that and saying, right, OK, that's the best form. But I thought she was readily brushed aside that day. I actually fancied her and tipped her, but she wasn't good enough. And Ernest Hemingway, since he won here at the Curragh last year, he's just done practically very little since for one reason or another. I don't really know what's been ailing this horse. I just can't put my finger on it, because he's massively impressive and on a massive, huge speed figure when he won this race 12 months ago. He quickened up really well. He went over the top of the field in devastating fashion. I can't work out what's been wrong with him, but he's got the tongue tie on for the first time, so that maybe that just might help. But I do think these two are quite vulnerable here, and at the prices, I'm going to back a couple against them at much bigger odds. Now, I actually think the best form on offer here is this race at Leopardstown, the race that Mission United won. It was a much more strongly contested race numerically and speed figure-wise as well. They went a real good gallop that day, courtesy of Mission United, basically setting the same kind of tempo that she did in the Ascot Gold Cup, and that almost paid off. So Shoe Lewis and Tehran have definitely got a bit of bets here today. I tipped Shoe Lewis that night, and although, you know, she was a 16-20-1 shot, she certainly justified my selection. And I'm going to go with her again. I think she's massively underestimated, this mare. You know, if she was trained by any other trainer, this horse would be Massively shorter in the market. Look at her profile. Just every single time she runs, she always runs well. Comes out really well on the speed figures. Will love a fast pace. So I think 14-1 is an absolute insult to her chances. And Tirana will also have to be backed as well at 9-1, largely due to the fact that she was well fancied that day at Leopardstown. Okay, she couldn't quite cope with Miss United and Shiri Lewis, but that was a big step up from anything she'd previously done. Again, another very consistent filly that has never been out the first three and six at five starts. So I think we could probably back these two horses each way. Even if one of them hits the frame, we still get majority of our money back, sort of 9-1, 14-1, 16-1, the two. So I suggest we back Tirana and Shoe Lewis and hope for a bit of an upset.
Okay. Next up is the 3:45. It's the Friarstown Stud International Stakes, a Group 3 race over a mile and two furlongs. And Ebenoran is your even money favourite. Probably has just about the best form in the race, but Parish Hall has some solid form, has to concede a stone to Ebenoran. Mekong River, Agena and Elaval, interesting contenders, but do you make this Ebenoran's to lose, Andy, or is this another favourite that you're going to try and take on?
I just can't back Ebenoran at the price. I mean, okay, ran okay to a degree in the Derby and probably proved to a connection that he didn't stay the trip, and they're dropping him back to the distance that he won the Derrynstown Stud, of course, when he beat Fascinating Rock and Geoffrey Chaucer. But the form of that race hasn't actually worked out all that well. You know, Fascinating Rock and Geoffrey Chaucer, they've done nothing since. So I don't know, I'm just left in the dark with him, really. If he wins, he wins. I'll let him win it even money. But I do think he'll have some competition on here, and I don't think he should be as short as he is. I do think Parish Hall is the one to beat here. He's got a great record at the track. You know, that second early on in the season to Magician is one of the best pieces of singular form in Ireland so far this season. It's a good speed figure, and of course, Magician chased home the Fugue in the Prince of Wales Stakes at Ascot, so we know that form's good. And Parish Hall himself also ran in the Prince of Wales. He was obviously outclassed. You know, he's not a Group 1 horse. But, you know, he didn't get beat too far. And his last two speed figures are actually better than anything in this race. He's got an 86 and a 90 on my numbers, whereas Ebenoran's got an 85 in the Derby. So at 4-1, I think he's a really good bet here, Parish Hall. And I'd also mention Agena as well at a price. That third behind Pomfrey, Nonchalant, and Mascoon obviously was in behind that day, reads quite well. Was a little bit one-paced on that occasion, but I think a step up in trip will suit him. He's by Galileo. So there is plenty of horses in this race that could make a quite an uncomfortable afternoon for Ebenoran, and I hope that Parish Hall proves to be one of them.
OK, then. Next up is the 4:20. It's the Pretty Polly Stakes for fillies and mares, a Group 1 contest over a mile and two furlongs. What a cracking race this is, Andy. I'd say there's only maybe two or three that you could rule out here. Lots of nice fillies going to post, and it's ambivalent for Roger Varian and Andrea Atsaini, who has been pretty well supported this morning. Is 5-2 at the time of recording, but comes up against, as I've said, a whole host of competitors, and perfectly viable competitors as well. Which way do you see this going?
I certainly agree with the favourite this time. I think there's no denying that Ambivalent's got the best form, and Tom Segal in the Racing Post has highlighted that fact. She was really good when she won the Middleton Stakes at York. She looked like getting swamped as well that day on the Naismire, when setting a fairly generous fractions or medium fractions. She looked like getting engulfed by some strong travelling fillies in behind. But she really stuck her neck out for Andrea Atsaini and beat Secret Jester. Of course, has gone on to win the Warwickshire Oaks subsequently. And back in six was Thistlebird, who also franked the form with a win at Epsom, a feat she repeated from the previous year. So definitely that's the best piece of singular form. And I actually thought she ran a gallant race in the Coronation Stakes as well at Epsom. Obviously, she wasn't up to Group 1 standard and certainly didn't have enough quality to beat the Colts, but there was no disgrace in getting beat by Cyrus de Zegler in Flintshire. But even though she got beat, she also battled on quite willingly, I thought, that day as well. But clearly a mile and a quarter is her best trip. She's won here before. She's won the race last year. She's obviously been teed up for this race again. And because Mr. Segal's gone for in the post, all that 7-2, 4-1, which is available, has been snaffled up by the hungry punters this morning. I think she's a worthy favourite. But I do think Venus de Milo will give her something at least to think about here. I do like Aidan O'Brien's filly, and she won for us last time out at Cork. Now, that was over a mile and a half, and I do think she's probably better over a mile and a half. She has won over a mile and a quarter, don't forget, but if there was an extra couple of furlongs to run here, I think she'd be an automatic selection. I still, however, I'm going to go with her each way at 9-2. The speed figure she produced today when she won at Cork was a good one, and Circling, who was third, ran an absolute blinder the other night to boost that form behind Carlo Bianca down in Nace. With the Aidan O'Brien camp firing on all cylinders, with Venus De Milo in really good order on the evidence of what we saw the other day, she just about gets my vote from an each-way perspective.
OK. Next race is the 4:50. It's the Ladies' Derby, a handicap over a mile and four furlongs. Obviously, just lady jockeys in this one, and it will probably pay to focus on the jockeys. The betting certainly has done. Nina Carbery rides the favourite, Touring Legend. You've got Katie Walsh in there on Laviniad, Jane Mangan on Back Off Mate. They're three of the first four in the market. So, much as, you know, over in England, when you see an amateur riders race, or indeed a flat race in Ireland, it does pay to focus on the jockeys. Is that a fair way to start with this one, Andy?
I think it is, yeah. You know, Touring Legend, quirky character though he is, managed to get first win under his belt for New Connections last time out, and Tommy Stack had a winner here yesterday in their book Nina Carbery, a horse that's likely to be ridden quite prominently. Expect a big run from that. Interesting if there's any money behind Security Breach, who hasn't been seen on the track for quite a while, but you know, that could be very competitive for the William Munnings company. He also runs another horse called Laviniad as well, who chased down a hot pot of John Ox's down in Sligo the other night. I do actually quite like the sneaky little nature of how Arthur Moore's campaigned Back Off Mate, perhaps with a view to taking this prize. And you're talking of jockeys, there's no better or more obvious pilot to concentrate on here than Jane Mangan. Of all the horses that she could have ridden here, it's quite significant to me that she's gone with the Arthur Moore trained horse, who's had one run here at the track, and that was back in September behind Placer, who was a good winner that day. But I thought Back Off Mate, after a slow beginning, ran on really eye-catchingly to finish second. His subsequent exploits over hurdles and fences have been quite of a consistent nature. The ground would have been a bit too soft for him last time out at Cork, but he previously won quite well over fences at Wexford. So he's been quite industrious, and he's been kept ticking along. And at 8-1, going back to the scene of his best run on the flat, I just thought Back Off Mate was one worthy of a little bit of interest at a price.
Okay, so Back Off Mate, the pick there. In the 4:50, race number 6 on the card, that was. Race number 7, the penultimate race, comes up at 5:20. It is a handicap over a mile and a half. Some interesting contenders here, Andy. Campaigned slightly differently, a lot of these, must be said, and from a variety of different kinds of yards, some jumps, some flat. Wexford Town has been well backed, but again, is now into 11-4 from 9-2, so really, really well supported. But are you going to join that bandwagon, or does that open the race up for a bit of each-way thievery?
Yeah, I do like Wexford Town. I like that form as well. The race he won last time out, the Ulster Derby, he never looked like winning that day until the last dying embers of that contest, so the extra furlong he's got to run today will definitely play into his strengths. He beat the favourite Azurite, who was well backed on that occasion, and who'd come off the back of a good win, or dead heat anyway, over this track the time before. Whether Gerlines' charge actually sees out the trip Azurite we're talking about is open to debate, and whether he's going to be better at a mile and a quarter remains to be seen. So I do think Wexford Town, with the Jim Bulger stable in good form, is probably the one they've got to beat here. I do actually quite like one at a price as well here. He's an older horse who he's a bit of a mercurial character, but on his day he's very good, and he proved that last time out when he won in Leopardstown. That's St. Gervais, a strong travelling horse trained by John Kiley. He went through that Leopardstown race like the good horse we know he can be. And he's likely to be ridden quite patiently as well here by Fran Berry. This horse has to be dropped out the back and brought through steadily. I think the track will play into his strengths, and he just looked a horse in a really good place last time at Leopardstown, and actually for the grade as well. It was one of these sort of back-end maidens which attracted hurdlers and flat horses alike. But it was quite a good time as well, and considering he carried 11 stone 8, that race actually comes out quite well furlong per furlong my figure. So with the ground in his favour, obviously no rain around, and Benny's was in such good form the other day, I'd be reluctant to oppose St. Gervais, particularly as he's been chalked up in a nice juicy 15-2.
Okay, St. Gervais the pick there in the penultimate race. And the final race coming up at 5:50 is a very competitive handicap over 7 furlongs. We're 6-1 the field at the time of recording. Lake George heads affairs, who was a recent winner, carries a penalty for that. One horse that is almost a... Can you have a cliff horse after only 4 runs? I don't know.
Blackstone, is it? Your
yeah, maybe not a cliff horse, but a small ledge horse, perhaps. Blackstone, for me, is a horse that... has obvious claims here, and an 8-1 makes appeal, but hasn't done it so far.
No. Yes, you definitely are turning into a lemming very quickly if you're backing this Blackstone. I still remain a little bit of faith in him. He just looks an awkward ride, doesn't he? They had the blinkers on him the last day, and he got to the front, travelling well over a furlong out, and then he just didn't quite have the finishing power of the winner, trained by Jim Bolger, of course. But dropping back to 7 furlongs off a mark of 78, he could be quite dangerous here. So I certainly wouldn't put you off. I know where you're coming from with him. But I do quite like the form of City of Culture here. And she's the one I'm going to go with. I know she hasn't won a race yet, and she's had a couple of trainers as well to boot Gerlines last year and now Willie McCreary. But that run behind High Emperor, I think, is the best individual piece of form we've got on offer here. Second to David Marnane's Chargers, run well subsequently at Garen. And an unlucky run here the other night as well, High Emperor. I thought he was one to put in the notebook here at the Curragh. But the figure that they produced that day, particularly the winner, was a very high standard for the grade. And City of Culture, having its first run of the season, was entitled to need the run, so probably can be upgraded from that effort. And the third and the fourth, Norville and Star of Malibar, or Straits of Malibar, they finished first and second in their next races, respectively. So I actually think that's probably the best form, or the best speed figure form I've got going into this race. So City of Culture at 10-1 certainly shouldn't be overlooked.
Okay, City of Culture, the pick there in the lucky last. Thank you, Andy. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your selections. Best of luck with them. Enjoy all of Sunday's action, and we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Okay, buddy. Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.